Let us pray. Holy God, we do want to be a part of your kingdom. And we pray that we may be given the wisdom to understand what your Son was saying about our need to give all that we have and all that we are for that precious gift. May we hear what that means now for our individual lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, I cannot remember what we were talking about, but I remember that my mother-in-law said, "Tom, sometimes you have to toot your own horn or it don't get tooted." And I remembered that. You know, every Sunday I stand here and talk about the things that we need to be doing as a church. The things that we need to be thinking about if we want to be better Christians. And I believe that that's important. That is a part of my calling as a pastor. But I also believe that we need to celebrate at times about what God is doing through our church and what God is doing through the individual members of our church. And that is what I will be doing during this series that I begin today. Celebrating. Tooting our collective horns. By sharing with you what I see are things that we can celebrate about our life and our ministry as a family of faith. The series will not, though, be held over the next few Sundays. This is a series that I'm going to hold over 5 Sundays throughout the fall and early winter. And we begin today. Celebration, we're celebrating old and new. A number of years ago, I shared with you the story of a minister, new minister in a church, and he got a call early one Sunday morning that the teacher for one of the boys' classes was ill and couldn't teach, and he asked the minister to fill in. So the minister said, "Sure." And he decided that this would be a time to kind of take a little pop quiz and find out what the kids or the youth in this children knew, at least these particular boys. So after he went around and got their names and everything, he said, "So guys, who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" There was silence. And all of a sudden the boy said, "I didn't do it, I didn't do it." "None of them did it," they said. Now the preacher was appalled by their ignorance. And so at the next deacon's meeting, which is their equivalent of our session or elders, the pastor shared with them this experience. He said, "Not one of them knows or knew who knocked down the walls of Jericho." And then the group was silent. Until finally one seasoned veteran of dispute spoke up, "Preacher, this appears to be bothering you a lot, but I've known these boys since they were born, and they're good boys. If they said they didn't know, I believe them. Let's just take some money out of the repair and maintenance fund and fix the walls and let it go at that." The truth is, there are a lot of people today who consider themselves Christians but don't know the Bible very well. Pollster George Gallup Jr. has long referred to America, the Christian nation, as a nation of biblical illiterates. Only 4 10 Americans know that Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. A majority of citizens cannot name the four Gospels of the New Testament. Only 3 in 10 teenagers know why Easter is celebrated. 2/3 of Americans believe there are few, if any, absolute principles that direct human behavior. A fairly recent poll by the Barna Research Group suggests that religious illiteracy has increased. For example, 3 out of 4 Americans and nearly half of born-again Christians believe the Bible teaches that God helps those who help themselves. The Bible does not teach that. It teaches the exact opposite. Today, with the celebration of the beginning of our 2011-2012 Christian education program, we lift up the importance that education plays in the development of one's faith in God, both children and youth, but also of adults. There have been a number of times that I have stood in this pulpit and talked about the need for adults to continue the process of education in their adult life. So many feel that they can tackle today's difficult problems with the faith and the stories that they learned as children. It just doesn't work that way. As we mature in stature and understanding, as we become more abstract in our thinking, we need to also become mature and understanding, in our understanding of God, of how God wants us to live and work and be in today's world. And you know, you've heard me also say a bunch of times that I believe we have a first-rate education program. Other committees are doing a wonderful first-rate job too, and I will be talking about them on some of our other celebration Sundays. But today I want to focus on education because it is Rally Day. You know, we don't have a lot of children in our youth program, in our children and youth and in our so forth. But those who are in it receive what I believe is a first-rate education. But not only that, I also believe that they're getting a lot of love from their teachers and the support people. And you've seen who those people are just a few minutes ago. But also, over the past few years, our adult program has grown by leaps and bounds. Not just in terms of number, but also in terms of offerings. We have joined up with Trinity United Church in Myersville to offer adult ed classes on the Bible, on being faithful Christians in the world today. Classes from knowing the Bible to how can we retain our Christian spirituality in the busyness of our daily lives. We've had classes on our understanding of, or on understanding Islam. We've had classes of what would you do if you had $1 million? That was just last week. And we looked at that question from our faith perspective. We are offering a once-a-month gathering to study a book this program year. This is something new. So again, let me plug. Be sure to help me figure out which one by looking at the books in Pollard Hall during coffee hour. Now, some of you may say that it's I, thinking that I'm the one leading the studies. And in some cases, that's true, but I'm only one of a number of people who are involved in this whole process, this endeavor. We have pastors and lay people from other churches leading some of the events. We've brought in people to lead events. For the one of the classes on Islam, we brought in a Turkish Muslim from the Interfaith Dialogue Center. Tom Pogiel has been leading the Fourth Sunday Focus. But it's not just what we are doing, but how we are doing it. Jesus said at the end of our Matthew passage, and he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household, who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." Dr. William Loder, a biblical scholar and commentator, writes about this passage. "The good scribe or interpreter is one who both draws on tradition, the scripture, and draws on contemporary experience, new, as a parable of God's reality in the world, thus on both old and new. I've been gratified over the years here to observe a willingness to do just that." Dr. Loder's talking about scribes and preachers, but it's also the job of those who are learning as well, to celebrate, to bring the old and the new together. I can't remember where I heard it. It might have even been back in seminary. A person once said, "A good preacher preaches with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other." And that's how we all, preachers, teachers, learners, should approach understanding our faith. We don't read the Bible in a vacuum. We don't think of it as just something that was good back then. We read it in the context of our own personal contemporary lives. And I have found a willingness to do just that in this church. There is a desire to not just understand what the Bible says, but how to live our lives and how to be the church in light of it. This even comes to play right now as you're listening to a sermon. You've listened to sermons over the years, and a number of you at times over the years have come up to me and said, "You know, you said something last week and it really got me thinking about my own personal life. Old, new." And that's the way it has to be if being a Christian is to mean anything for us. Next week we will be bringing in our new confirmation class. One of the sessions of that class is entitled "Demonstrating a New Quality of Life." And we talk in that class about the fact that when we say we're Christian, that has to mean something. That means we're saying that we're different in some way. The Bible and our understanding of the Bible is not to take us out of the world, but teaches us and helps us to struggle with and be in the world. The late playwright Wilson Meisner once wrote in Education Digest, "I respect faith, but doubt is what gets you an education. I respect faith, but doubt is what gets you an education." When we bring the old and new together and express our questions and our frustrations, and we struggle with that, that's how we get an education. And I'm grateful for the human struggle of the members of this church who have chosen to celebrate the old, the scripture, and the new, the contemporary experience, to bring them together and try to live a different quality of life. May God bless us as we continue to celebrate the old and the new. And may we grow ever more faithful as we do so. Amen.